You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Razor Riffs. This is episode 3. I'm Keith Razor with my trusty sidekick, Alan Lee. How you doing, Alan?
Very good. Very good. Glad to be here as always.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. We had a lot of cancellations this week.
That wasn't fun.
Yeah, it was not fun.
It was exciting. It was over the edge, man.
It was like we had 5 guests and they all canceled.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, it's kind of like dating.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good analogy. Yeah. I've had many cancellations dating.
You ever go on
pre-cancellations even?
You ever go on a date like and you realize like it's not the date from like the picture or something like on Match.com or something?
You know, a lot of times I let that go by.
You let that go by.
I say it doesn't matter.
But no, we were supposed to have Norm MacDonald.
No.
Then he canceled because his mom was sick. No. Then we were supposed to have Jeff Richards.
Mm-hmm.
He canceled because he has a stand-up gig. Then we were supposed to have Brian Scolaro. He canceled because he's still in New York.
Yeah.
Then we were supposed to have, I mean, the list goes on and on.
Well, that's the dating game in comedy.
But
you know how you can come out, though? You can come out with something even bigger and better.
Well, that's what we did. We got something bigger and better than all of that.
Quite better.
And then last second, too.
That's correct. This gentleman we're coming up here is a heavy hitter.
I think we should just introduce him because I think that we didn't take enough time writing jokes this week because I was so worried about the cancellations.
The whole writing thing went right out the window.
Yeah. And plus, let's face it, we're not the best writers in the world.
Well, you know, we haven't won any acclaimed awards, and that's why.
Yeah. We're still trying to find sponsors. we can't get sponsors.
This is
going
to be a very helpful evening for us.
Yeah, well, for those of you listening, we have a great guest. He's been in a couple movies like Cellier, which I actually grew up watching, The Hunger Games, and he was the original winner of Last Comic Standing.
Yes, sir.
So let's just bring him up. Please welcome Dat Fan, guys. Come on, yeah.
Right here. Historical, actually.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me be the sixth pick. That makes me feel pretty good. Is that I'm number 6 after 5 cancellations? That's fantastic.
Well, thanks for doing it, man.
I mean, you bet. Awesome. Yeah, I know you guys were looking for a Cambodian comic, and he canceled as well.
Yeah,
he had to go fishing for his family. He's like, well, now what? I guess we'll look for the Vietnamese guy. The only Vietnamese guy in Studio City. That's what we're looking for, you know.
But no, it was cool that because you're very busy and that you just came out, you know, and did it. I really appreciate that.
I appreciate you growing up watching Cellular. That's
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
You know why I like that movie? Because the writer, I forgot his name. It was like Larry something, but the script was just so original. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like.
It was fun. You know, at the time when I met Chris Evans, I mean, first of all, I had no idea that he was going to, oh, your phone's blown up.
Yeah.
Is that Tinder right now, or what's going on?
It was a tweet.
Oh.
I wanted to tell about my movie, but he swiped right, and now the chick's a match. I can't even talk about Captain America. Now we've got this hot chick on there.
There you go.
I apologize.
See what happens.
I should have turned off my phone.
He can improvise. See how quickly he improvises.
I'm more jealous. I thought it was an iPhone 6 at first. But then I realized that was the screen. That's like the flat screen instead. That's a 6 Plus right there.
Big one.
I think the phones are getting bigger, though. So I think the iPhone 19 is going to be this big.
About that big.
The iPhone 19 is actually a gurney that you lay on. You die from cancer from the phone, and then you actually lay on top of the gurney, and that's the iPhone 19.
Pre-approved.
Yeah. It causes cancer, but it also is part of the medical Obamacare that helps you get carried, you know.
Oh, my God. We're controversial now. I love it.
That's fine.
Oh, I was just talking about health insurance. I wasn't trying to get into the politics. The politics of...
No, I meant that when the health insurance was coming.
But no, tell us about Cellular before
Cellular?
Before.
I just wanted to know, I did 2 other movies. I did Sake Bomb, Hungover Games, and then also 108 Stitches. Those are 3 movies that came out in the last year. But Cellular was before that. Mm-hmm. And when I worked with Chris Evans, it was cool. Because when I met him, he already had like the body of, I mean, I'm straight, but even a straight guy, when you look at Chris Evans, like, oh my God, look at this guy's body. He looks like a superhero.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Yeah. Very charming, very cordial, and great actor. I'd say something that people don't know on Cellular. One of my scenes where I was like on the phone at the phone booth, that had a piece in my ear where I was talking to another actor to do my scene, and I was supposed to be talking to Chris, but they could usually just have some stand-in talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually was on the mic himself with an earpiece of his own doing the scene with me to make sure that I was able to do it right. He was very generous and a very cool guy, yeah.
So he's recording and queuing and
oh yeah, because what happened, because I'm on the phone, but inside the earpiece there's another earpiece. Oh. And it's remote control over to where the director is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But Chris actually said, hey, Dad, if you want, I could do it. You know, I could talk to you and do these lines exactly the way the scene is to make it easier for you. I mean, he totally didn't have to do that. He could have went to go sleep in the trailer or whatever.
Well, see, and at the time, Chris Evans probably wasn't as huge because the only other movie he did was, like, not another teen movie. So, like, this was, like, one of his main...
Right.
You know, he was starting to get big and stuff.
He was always very respectful to me during the whole shoot of the movie, and I was very happy to hear that he was part of the Avengers, you know.
Yeah.
You always root for the guys that are really nice and not somebody that was,
exactly. You know. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought he was a great Captain America. When it first came out, I was like, I don't know. But then I was like, wow.
That Dad and I have read Captain America comics most of our lives, and I was pleased with the look. You know what I'm saying? It's hard,
for
some actor to become the picture of the comic.
You know what I loved about the latest Captain America? Yes. Yeah, we're going to dangerous territory here because I see your Marvel thing.
Yeah.
I'm huge in anime. This is going to become a bunch of guys not getting laid in a second. It's what's that TV show where they're in the comedy TV show where they're, you know what I'm talking about, right?
They're super...
The Avengers?
No,
the,
Big no, Bang Theory.
Big Bang.
Except for they're actually getting laid. No. We're not getting, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
One small part.
The cool thing about Captain America, the latest one, is like they were having battle scenes on the freeway, like in regular clothes, and it wasn't like, the cheesy superhero thing, and they only wore the uniform when they had to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they had the other stuff was part of the uniform for battles. It was really cool.
I even enjoyed the first Captain America, you know. I mean, I thought the Winter Soldier was good.
I think the Winter Soldier was very good.
I think Captain America, honestly, is the best comic book movies out right now.
I wasn't a huge fan of Thor.
Everyone likes Iron Man.
I wasn't crazy about Thor, but what I loved about Thor is that they didn't take themselves too seriously. There was plenty of jokes throughout the whole
movie.
There was a lot in the sequel. Oh, yeah. So they were like, hey, let's just do this. We got a hammer.
Because I bet Dad saw a Shakespearean. Remember the actor that played Thor is a Shakespearean type.
I
thought it was going to be or not to be Thor.
Yeah.
You know?
And I got to hand it to these guys because they're acting and they're also doing all sorts of special workouts and diets to match the superhero look.
I'm still trying to get those abs.
Yeah. Right.
I just want Jesus' abs. I'll be happy with Jesus. Oh, he has really nice abs.
Great
yeah.
Jesus abs.
That's good.
Passion of the Christ. Yeah. He was buff in that movie.
Yeah, I should stop right now before I get killed. So
we love you.
No, not by you guys. I know you're comics. You're cool. Not gonna. I'm talking about the people listening out there.
Yeah, there's people out there. What right. Abs on Jesus?
Yeah, you don't want to stretch it too far with the Jesus on the cross thing. It's.
But no, I actually got to start doing the dieting and getting in shape because I just realized I got cast as a superhero in the Avengers 34. So you know.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, who do you play on there? Are you Captain America?
I think I'm. I don't know yet. It's 30. I still got 32 movies to figure out my role.
Wow.
But you're in the
family. That's
you're in the family.
I'm thinking I'm going to be like the doctor with the machine. Be like, close the gate.
I'd be like the worst on Avengers because I'd look around at Scarlett Johansson and everybody like,
me too.
They're in costume.
Me too.
Yeah. Like during the film, like while they're filming, I'll just like to stare at everybody. Like, wow, everybody's working out really hard.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. The same thing would happen to me.
I didn't expect to talk about superheroes, but now that you bring it up, like it seems like all the actors playing the superheroes, in a way, like they bring the comedy, and they're not comedian trained actors. You know what I mean? Like for example, Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's more funny in the superhero movies than like in all.
Oh yeah,
is that funny?
You know what I mean?
An interesting observation.
And like Mark Ruffalo, you know, whatever his name is, you know, I think they're funnier in the superhero movies than in their just comedy movies.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
That can happen.
Yeah, that's probably because you don't expect it or something like that. But Robert Downey Jr. he's naturally funny.
Oh,
anyways.
He's good. He has a comedic.
Yeah.
Don't you feel a comedic?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think he was funny before that, but he was especially funny as Iron Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I was laughing up because like. Yeah. Like Hugh Jackman and Wolverine, you know? Like, I thought he was funny with all his sarcastic remarks, you know? I mean, well.
Downey owns that Iron Man now. I don't know. I tried to cast Val Kilmer in it. You think Val Kilmer could be Iron Man? I was trying to, you know, go see.
Well, back in the day, I mean, I tell you what, whether it's Val Kilmer or somebody, I mean, I would wear. Let me say this: I would wear the Iron Man suit wherever I go, like pick up chicks at a club.
Sure.
Why not wear the blue? I mean, like you totally, you're competing against eight dudes.
Yeah, that's true.
You might as well have the Iron Man.
Might as well.
Source, power source, right there.
But why would you choose Val Kilmer? I mean, he ruined Batman.
Think of different men. Well, he did play Batman. See, he had already been a superhero. So I said, well, what's the, you know, the crossover? Do you, you know, Batman to Iron Man? I don't know.
Hey, Dad, I did have one question, and this question is, I'm sure you probably don't get asked this a lot, and I just find it remarkable because I'm a struggling stand-up comedian. You know, I still live with my parents, and I'm struggling. I've been doing comedy.
At least you don't have to pay rent.
No, I do pay rent with my parents.
Oh, well, that's bad.
But, yeah, it's pretty.
You have, like, Asian parents?
No.
You pay, you're late.
What?
But, yeah. But the thing is, I'm struggling, and even though I have a home, you know, I'm blessed. And I read that while you were a struggling comic, you lived in your car.
I did. Like, I did. I'm from San Diego, and when I went up here, I went balls to the wall, like just straight out. I first lived with a guy in North Hollywood, and we shared like a one bedroom, not even one, like a studio, you know, typical up here. And I was living under a desk. That happened over and over again because, like, you get your little corner as a comedian, right?
Sure.
So you have a choice between a desk or a bed. And to me, like, I could sleep on the floor like a little Vietnamese refugee from San Diego.
Yeah.
And then I lived under a desk. But eventually I went to him one day because I ran out of money. And it was the most humiliating. I was like, hey, man, I just want to let you know, I have news. I can't afford the rent. Like, what terrible news, you know? And he goes,
please.
What?
My nightmare.
So basically, we made a plan where he was going to move to Venice Beach. I didn't want to move out of, I call it the hot zone, which is where Hollywood is.
Yeah.
And I stuck around, and I ended up living out of my car.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, it'll be rent-free, even though my car was going to be repossessed.
Yeah, wow.
And you know what? Come to think about it, I hardly dated any chicks during this time. It's amazing how women don't come around.
They don't like that.
They don't like you living out of a Saturn. There's something about being on Tinder and living out of a Saturn SL1. I was like, wait, but it has plastic polymer panels. Yeah. So they don't care. I was like, wait, I have a gallon of water, and I have vitamins and a loaf of bread. But they don't go for that. I don't know why, you know?
Yeah.
Something about women.
I just find that fascinating because, I mean, obviously, times were tough for you, but you stuck with comedy. You know what I mean?
You know something kind of cheesy? Not that I'm trying to sell it, but at the time, I had Tony Robbins stuff on disc.
Oh, really?
I was listening to Personal Power.
I've listened to those.
While sleeping in my car. That's my bedtime story every night. So I had nothing
Tony
but
Robbins.
My beliefs. Yeah, Tony Robbins, I was listening to him. And I mean, I didn't go through his program. I just like somehow I bought his thing, and I like listened to it like church every night.
Yeah.
And going, you know, listening to crying to it and stuff, and then I was weighing tables at three. I worked at different comedy clubs.
Crying to it,
I get very emotionally sensitive to the things he says, you know.
Good.
Or I was starving. It's one of those two.
One of the two.
Tears of starvation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like when you say working, like you're performing or like doing the door thing, like we're gonna.
I was. You know, it's weird because I was a double agent. I was like working at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, and I would change my shirt like Superman, and then go over to the Improv. And put on the Improv shirt.
Nice.
So the comedians, they would complain to me. They're like, hey, you traitor, I saw you over there. And then I see them over there. I'm like, how do you know?
Yeah.
You're there too.
I love that.
Exactly.
That's in the can.
So eventually they started asking me inside information, like, what do I know? I'm like, oh, so I came from communists to now being your informant, like it's some type of body of lies, CIA, Ridley Scott thing going on here.
Thank you. I love it.
Now, would you say working as a door guy like helped your comedy? Like, because you see all these great comedians come in.
I learned a lot. Yeah. I watched a lot of headliners do their tricks. I learned how they handled crowds, counter heckling. Yeah. I learned how the politics of comedy worked in LA.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, I was just 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
And you have that energy and
you have the drive.
The drive. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a. Yeah. I would say that it's a young man's game, but then again, I see people make it when they're 50 too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So I learned a lot. I learned a lot being. I mean, it's like being a paid intern. I mean, it was minimum wage at the time.
Yeah.
But I was getting paid to
Which
basically
was like $6, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But also, here's the thing: when you are, well, actually, it was $6.50. The 50 cents makes a difference. but at the time, I would be living out of my car like these other comics, or just living under a desk. But the difference was we get the scraps. The door guys like after the headliners get
yeah.
off.
Yeah, you get
who's around the comedians
sure.
that are the door guys.
Door guys.
So I went up and I was able to work on myself. It's like it's like being the towel boy at a boxing ring.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
you know what
cool.
I mean. And then like when they're not training, you get to go into the ring and train.
You train. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it was a good deal.
Because my friend, he works as a door guy at the Irvine Improv, mm-hmm. and he's a brilliant comic, but he can never go out because he's the door guy at the Irvine Improv. So what they'll let him do is, like, if an opener or a feature, you know, is not on time for the show, they'll let him
right.
go out.
Right.
You know, but he can't go travel and do comedy. He's mm-hmm. stuck
sure.
at
yeah.
one venue.
But at that point, you're kind of interning, learning, and because of that, I learned to have my own comedy outfit ready in my car.
Yeah.
So when they go, hey, so-and-so is late, you want to spot? Yes, absolutely.
Good
whatever you need.
Advice. Good
and then I would
advice.
Go, and this sounds awful, but I could say it now. At the time when I was working the improv stuff, it was a restaurant, too. Great food.
Yeah.
I was starving.
Yeah,
so
sure.
it was very much the million-dollar baby thing where I would be carrying trays of food to the garbage,
yeah.
but then I would be pocketing some of the food that we're throwing away.
Yeah,
yeah no.
And
no,
I would save it for later on and eat the scraps
me,
and kept me alive. So.
I have done that as
yeah.
a waiter.
And did
someone yeah. didn't finish their prime
sure.
rib, and I just could not dump it into the...
And that's why you
washer.
Never... That's, but that's why you never see the waiter, like, if you can't finish your prime rib, you don't see them going, so... What, you're not gonna
you're not
finish
gonna
that. They never talk you into finishing your meal.
No.
You want me to take that away from you? Like I'm still, I just cut into it right now.
Thank you.
Now, if you
yeah.
if you like saw half a cheeseburger, you know, like obviously someone bit it. Like, did you pull the bite marks off, or did you just eat
everyone's
the
different?
Yeah,
than that.
It depends on how hurting you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also look at the customer. If the customer looked like they have
yeah.
Ebola,
oh.
then I probably would cut around
cut.
The things.
Yeah.
You know,
that would be good.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
But, I mean, we didn't
surgical,
have Ebola here at the time.
No.
Yeah, but. If they look like they're
yeah.
pretty clean
yeah.
for the most
yeah.
part, you could tell.
Yeah.
I mean, if
yeah,
they're
sure.
gagging right there, you know, they're wheezing, then you probably
good.
Should.
That's
but,
not good.
But if they weren't in bad health condition, then you
yeah.
would just eat what you could. And
yeah.
It's amazing how much food people throw away.
Oh, you know? Starving.
It's true, yeah. because I think they over, like when you order food, I think they over serve it. You know
we're
what I mean?
We're lucky. Right. We live in a land of McDonald's and Whoppers and prime rib abundance. And, you know, I want to tell Dad that, you know, my name is Alan Lee, not Bruce Lee, but I am half Cantonese.
You're not Bruce Lee?
No. He may be.
Dad's
yes,
like,
yes,
all right, interview's
that.
Done.
He wrote that. Let's just drop that thing. But I'm half Chinese and half Cuban, and so I've had great
wow.
food.
Your cigars also, are made in Taiwan. Sorry.
That's correct.
I apologize.
And I'm not a communist. I'm just
yeah.
a regular guy. But yeah. he would understand that we both have a background of food fetish, because if you're Asian.
Yeah. I wouldn't use the word fetish.
No,
that's
no,
kind of
that,
rubbing a. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. I want
to
hear this because I want.
Well,
say,
fetish sounds like
fetish.
You're rubbing a steak.
No, that's
you
true.
Know,
right, right. I don't know
why.
Between why
your toes
that way,
or something.
Rubbing
food
a
food is
egg
like
roll on your nipple or something.
Yeah.
Food and anyway,
fish sauce,
yeah.
you know.
From one Asian to a half Asian, we understand food.
Yeah, no, I love eating. And you know, the hard part is when I won Last Comic Standing, I actually partied for a year straight. I got it all out of myself. I was drinking. It was crazy. Thank
nice.
God cell phones were not video. Like,
yeah.
the video cameras didn't come until like
yeah.
2005, 6, 7, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I won in 2003,
yeah.
so a lot of evidence was not recorded. But I partied like crazy. I don't want to go into the detail of what it was, but I also ate a lot, too.
Sure.
Yeah. So I started, like, blimping out and not working out and, like, you know, meeting some women here and there. But, like, just it was crazy.
Well,
drunk, you know? It was nuts.
The next question I had was about the Last Comic Standing, because you won the very first one.
We have.
Which, to me, is, like, the most special one, because it was the...
I'm like the Vietnamese Kelly Clarkson of comedy.
Yeah.
It's like if Kelly Clarkson came from Costa Mesa, Orange County,
yeah,
that would be... And she was a dude.
Yeah.
That would be yeah.
very
but,
good.
I mean, you
yeah, that
you,
would be interesting.
You beat a lot of comics on that show.
Yeah.
You beat Todd Glass, Ralphie May.
No, Todd Glass was in season two.
He was on season
yeah,
two.
Ralphie May was
Ralphie
in
May
season
was
one.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
But you did beat Ralphie May. I know that for a fact.
I did, and I didn't think I was going to win.
Yeah.
I honestly thought Ralphie was going to take it. I was shocked that I made it to the final five. Honestly.
Really?
I was just
That's
thankful
amazing.
To make it to the final
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
The final 20, really.
Please.
So everything was a bonus.
Now, I mean, I'm sure it's different now, but like in the days. Like when you like, how did you get that audition? Did you have a manager? Did you just walk in and?
Once again, I got to the point where I got out of my car. I was living out of my car, and then I eventually lived under a desk again in West Hollywood this time. So I was living in the hot zone, but basically living under a desk, sharing it with Ron McGee, my roommate at the time, half Korean, half Irish comedian.
Wow.
And
he must have been really jealous that you won, because like he's a comic too. And he's like, no,
he's a good guy. Actually, I owe a lot to Ron, because when I was living out of my car,
he
let me crash at his place with his parents for 6 days at the time.
Nice.
So his parents were like,
wow,
who's that Vietnamese guy that's roaming into that. I had a bird's nest because I hadn't showered for like several days.
Yeah.
So I was sneaking in and out to sleep on his floor.
Sure.
So Ron actually, in a way, saved me when I was. I'm not a Christian, but there was a team of Christian comics that booked me at their churches, and they gave me like a couple hundred bucks here and there, which gave me food to eat.
Yeah.
So I can't trash Ron. Ron was actually, I know it's
almost. We don't trash anybody.
Yeah. No, I mean, he really was my savior at the time. And then also, I ended up living next to him in West Hollywood. And then we were given this email because we were able to pay for it. Basically, we shared a studio that was, I mean, this would be a mansion compared to the studio that we're in, right? And the studio is about the size of a walk-in closet. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you'd have to step over the body of another comedian to go to the bathroom.
Sure.
It's that bad. And then, but we were able to afford internet. And at the time, it was just barely above 56K. Remember when we were just barely going to Cat 5?
Yeah.
And I checked my email. They said there's an experimental TV show. If we want to submit, you know, word got around. So I emailed the Last Comic Standing guys, sent them my package.
Nice.
And then the rest is history. You know,
that's fantastic.
Because, like, I tried to audition for it last year. And they said the whole email thing, but I never heard back from them. So I was like, you know what I mean?
You know, it is when Last Comic Standing season one was out, we didn't even know what the title was at the time. Like, we didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
We had no idea what was going on. I mean, American Idol was just barely season two at the time. So back then, there were not a whole lot of managers and agents and everybody getting their hands in the pie. Now that we're at season eight, you're talking about the whole world trying to get in on it. I mean, they have Britain's Got Talent, and they have all these other things going on.
It was like
It's almost easy. It's kind of like going to college is a little bit easier way back in the day. Now trying to get into UCLA is almost impossible unless you're some type of borderline genius.
Yeah,
you know,
so many applicants.
Did you watch it this last season?
Mm-mm.
Oh well, they had Roseanne, Russell Peters, and Keanu Wayans as judges.
Right
now, I think. Peters and Roseanne, great judges, but I think like they need another stand-up comic as a judge. I mean, they should offer it to you, like the original.
I respect they have their own production. I mean, to be honest with you, the reason why I don't watch a whole lot of comedy is I do it for a living, and I've done it for a living, fortunately, for the last, I don't know, 14 years or something crazy.
Great. Yeah.
So I haven't had a regular job for 14 years, but when you do comedy full-time, you're basically, let's say if comedy is like a tree, and then part of that tree there's like improv, there's, you know, the sketch, this and that, blah, blah, stand-up comedy and all that. Well, if you're part of that tree for so long, the last thing I want to do in my time off is step away from the tree and then stare at the tree.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's, it's like, let's watch more comedy right now. Like,
exactly.
I want to lose my mind.
I didn't think about that.
That is a very nice comment.
But I mean,
like that, honestly.
But I respect it. I respect the tree. I just don't want to be staring at the tree.
Yeah, but now that you bring that up, I got that. But I mean, if it was offered to you and, like, they say, hey, Dad, here's $7 million just to be a judge, would you do it?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, because that would be cool. Because like the very first Last Comic Standing is judging. Like to me, like I love Roseanne; she's the greatest female comic ever. I love Russell Peters, but if the original winner of the show is judging,
or if I just came in and judged like one episode,
something like that.
Like it's a great
guest
idea.
Judge.
Well,
I'd
offer you $1 million for one episode.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I have to respect that they have their own system, their own production, because the whole production changed over to other hands.
Yeah, it's totally
and stuff.
Different.
And I can't come in and be like, what's going on here? I want, you know I let go a lot of anger. I mean, what do I have to be angry about? I mean, One Last Comic Standing, you know?
I know.
If they offered, great. If they don't, I have to move on and do other things. I do a lot of martial arts. I know it's very Asian stereotypical, but
black belt Aikido.
Oh, cool.
And I study with Dan Innocent. Excuse me, if you mind, I'd like to speak with have an Asian conversation for just one moment.
Well, that's just Asian. There's a lot of white guys and black guys doing it now too.
He took some martial arts. Dan Innocent. I studied with him, the Kali Academy, the Filipino Kali Academy in Torrance.
Yeah.
And I sparred with Bruce Lee's son.
Oh, Brandon?
I did.
You sparred with him?
I certainly did.
Oh, that's cool.
When he was, you know.
Did he have the crow outfit on?
Sorry, no. It's
probably inappropriate.
He was, a little bit younger than that. But I mentioned it to,
That's cool.
Impressive.
That's really awesome.
And your style?
I started off in Tang Soo Do, Taekwondo, and eventually I went over to Kung Fu. And then recently I have stuff like Krav Maga, combat jiu-jitsu, and then Thai pads, Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
I studied with a guy from a ninjutsu clan. I can't say from where. somewhere in Europe.
Oh, ninjutsu class.
Yeah, but I didn't study it for that long. But,
okay. Yeah.
Wow. I've been in MMA for a long time, but I'm not a fighter. I mean, I train with MMA fighters now, and I would not do. They're modern day gladiators. These guys do.
Yeah.
I have respect for them.
I do too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the first thing I tell them. Like, I'll train, and I'll start getting like a little bit, just a little bit more beefed up. These guys are monsters, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And as soon as they go, hey, so you want to like go join in a fight? And I'm like, no. I see the injuries that's going on. It's kind of hard to get the injuries they get doing stand-up comedy.
Very,
you know what I mean?
Very difficult. Not impossible, but difficult.
So I respect what they do, but I also enjoy the other side of the martial arts, forms, weapons, things like that.
But,
so.
But well, see, Dat and I wouldn't be afraid to walk down a dark alley.
No.
But we would still look over.
Would. It depends. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah. No, the thing is, I actually took a break from martial arts for several years right after last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
And when I was living out of my car, I couldn't afford it, you know.
Yeah.
But after a while, I kind of needed to go back to it, kind of like some people go to church.
Yeah,
I really got the clarity in my head.
It's addictive. It becomes part of you. It is a need.
Yeah. Well, you know what's a huge part of it? It's like after you go through a horrible breakup or breakup, like a girl like
really
smashes your heart, right? And
a bag work.
That somehow triggers something in you where I'm going to do push-ups and do martial arts until my arms break off, basically.
That can happen.
Wow.
But I don't know if you get this. I actually get high from doing martial arts. I don't even need weed. I could actually do martial arts.
The endorphins in your body and the ki and all
it's
of that.
It's natural. It's great. You lose weight. And I'm like, this is the best high I've ever.
Maybe I should do martial arts.
But that's the thing. A lot of stand-up comedians at night, they're out doing stand-up, right?
Yeah.
And with me, I do stand-up when I have to go do the road and all that stuff. But you know when you get your head gets kind of cloudy because you're kind of not getting the exercise and all that stuff?
You want a little...
When I do martial arts, it really clears things out, and I could just think crystal clear. It's so much.
It's such a
nicer.
Mental thing. Yeah. I mean, everyone sees everyone. Oh, he's going to beat somebody up, and you know the movements are really for the clarity of your mind.
I do say this though. It does affect your writing though. I have a theory. I'm one of the few that teaches
like
the left brain logical linear thinking of stand-up comedy instead of the right brain. A lot of creative writing is from the right brain.
Oh. Yeah.
So
music to my ears.
No,
seriously. This is great.
So a lot of the jokes come from that creativity, which also links to sleeping in late, sleeping on the couch, junk food, you name it, right?
Well,
and just cloudy. So that's why it comes from dysfunction, it comes from pain, pain and time. So when you do martial arts, you're clearing all of that out, and you're thinking full-on, linear, crystal clear. So then you kind of have to somehow force yourself to switch over to the creative side, which is the reckless side.
It's funny that you bring that up because Dat called me this morning, and I woke up, and he's like, hey, I'm a comic. You're probably asleep.
You guys are so funny. I call this guy at past 11 a.m., okay? At this point, people are getting ready for lunch, so I'm calling him past 11 a.m., and I used to be like, I used to wake up like 2 p.m., right?
Sure.
Me and my girlfriend wake up to like vampires, right? But I'd call him, and he's like, oh. He sounds like he just got attacked by four dudes in an alley, right?
That's a great
impression. I'm like,
bro. That's a good impression.
Are you okay? Do you want me to wait? And he goes, no, I'm awake. I'm like, can you send me the itinerary to where I'm supposed to be? Like, I'll do it right now, buddy. I'll do it right now. It's like he's coming out of a coma or something like that.
That is a very good impression.
I was up all night raging because I headlined the Brea Improv, so I did
because he was up late.
I was raging.
See, you have a more exciting. I mean, you're out raging doing God knows what, and I don't want to say what drugs or alcohol and all that. Me last night, what was I doing? I think I bought the movie Her.
Yeah.
And just sat there like a little wuss crying to the guy from Gladiator, basically. You know what I mean? It was just, I was drinking orange juice.
Yeah. Orange juice.
Yeah, that's about, no vodka. Yeah. It's orange juice and carrot juice.
Yeah. I had a little wine, but I just watched an episode of Arrow.
See, I'm losing man points. You at least watch a superhero movie and you're drinking wine. I was drinking carrot juice and orange juice watching Her alone. I mean, what's going on?
You win.
Now I had another question about comedy, because now you're touring and you're headlining sold out shows and stuff. And I'm sure you did this when you were starting. You know, you saw a headliner and you're like, hey, I'd like to open up for you or something. Do comics go up and ask you?
They do that, and I have a solution now because I've been approached by 10,000 comedians for that.
Yeah.
So basically, I have several Facebooks, I have Instagram, Twitter, I'm on there all the time, and these guys are attacking my inbox, basically going, hey, let me open for you. Mm-hmm. Here's the trick. Here's what it is, and it's being very true and real.
Uh-huh.
A lot of comics with all due respect to their abilities of being very funny, mm-hmm. are lazy. They're smart and lazy.
Ouch. Yeah.
And those two kind of feed off of each other. So
you.
Basically, what they're really saying is, yes. Hey, man, so how can I open for you? And you get nothing out of it. I just basically, I'm really funny, and I'm just going to have you promote for me. So I'm going to promote you and pay you and have you get stage time, which we get high off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, eventually house you after a while, mm-hmm. pay for your travel for nothing.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, that doesn't. So let's do that to 10,000 comedians. I'm gonna be bankrupt,
that's
right?
That's
so what? So the solution is, I tell these comics, I go, look, here's the deal. If you're serious, we're gonna go under training. So you're gonna go under these classes. You're gonna learn the left brain logical way of business. You're gonna learn how to make money as a comedian. Most of them don't get past step one. They're like, what? I have to. I'm like, all right, you know, just forget it. You don't have to.
You said that word. Can't get past step one. Why should I teach you step two?
Well, they go, I really want to make it. I want to become famous. Yeah, I want this, that. And I go, okay, cool. The meeting is, we'll have a meeting at 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, 2 p.m. And they're like, well, you know, can we do it? I'm like, okay, how about change this time? Like, well, what about? I'm like, you know what? Don't worry about it. We don't ever have to have a meeting. And good luck. Well, I'm trying to offer them an opportunity.
You're making a wonderful point. I had a conversation along these lines. Please continue. I'm loving this, man, because he's making a point that's not made too often about that word business.
Well, no, see, because people ask me this all the time because I open for Norm MacDonald every now and then.
Cool.
And I've known Norm for about 9 years. And when I first met him, that's all I wanted to do was open for him. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You know. And I asked him, and he was very truthful. He was like, you're not ready. You know, and he told me this for 6-7 years. You're not ready.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then when I was ready, he offered it
to me.
Like, I just gave up asking. So, like, does that...
It's very similar to martial arts.
Yeah.
That's like somebody saying, hey, I want to fight in the MMA, or I want to become a black belt. I want to do this. I want a black belt now.
Yeah.
You don't go up to the instructors and go, hey, give me a black belt.
Yeah.
I'm really good. How often do you see that working in a school? You're going to get your you-know-what beat, right?
A lot of pain to get that belt.
But have you noticed that when you are ready, the instructor or the master goes, hey, is somebody getting attacked next door? There's a woman that's screaming over there. Is that normal
I hear it also.
I think they're filming a porno next door.
They're filming a porno.
Please,
over here, Vietnamese comedy with Bruce Lee and Norm MacDonald. Yeah, and then over there, we have a woman that's she's under attack. And look, you're getting a booty call. What's happening here? Tinder's going off?
No,
it went from vibrate to loud now.
I put on the phone because the thing was going to say when we got to start, who wrote jokes.
See, this is a good example of someone who takes it all in.
It's a good thing that
is taking it all in.
It's a good thing his alarm wasn't a lady getting attacked.
Oh, my.
Because now I was like, oh, is that a lady getting attacked or is that your alarm? It sounds the same. So I guess we don't hear any alarm. It's just some lady getting attacked right now.
Well, that alarm was to play who wrote jokes because we actually have to cut 10 minutes tonight because there's a second show. I hate second shows. It's kind of like stand-up, you know? The first show, you have to be right on time, and the second time you could always go. You know what I mean? So
this man has made me laugh so much, I think I'm at a club. Not
I know.
At a podcast. I don't know.
Wait, what type of a strip club? Or
No. a comedy club.
I like, you want some? But can I plug my stuff coming up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Please, we're going
to. I'm Dat_fan on Twitter. I'm addicted to Instagram. Same name on there. I'm on Facebook. You can find me all over there. And then... also, I have a bunch of shows coming up in San Diego, Vegas, Hawaii, all that stuff. You can find out on datfan.com. It connects you to all my Tumblr, everything.
Oh, when are you in San Diego?
I have a bunch of shows coming up in November and December, mostly December. And then I have like Temecula coming up too and all that stuff. Like, I have a whole tour schedule. I mean, it's booked up to like, I think, June of 2015 or something.
Let's go to San Diego and see.
I would love to. And that's
party.
DatFan, run that by us again,
Datfan.com, DatPhan.com. Please bring that lady who's getting sexually assaulted.
We will.
And then we're going to, I don't know what's going on. But now the cops are here now.
That would be fun, man. San Diego, out of California, I think San Diego is the best place to do stand-up because it's right there in the district.
Oh,
and
it's beautiful.
You know,
I love that district, that club. I love San Diego.
I love my San Diego comics.
Yeah.
I am from that system,
sure.
And I would say those comics are spoiled down there with the stage time. There's five comedy clubs. There's a comedy war. So much stage time, it's ridiculous.
I know.
They're all over the place. When they come up here, it's like the poor comics are doing comedy at a laundromat up here.
Yeah.
Literally.
My worst shows, a laundromat.
Yeah, especially if you don't have enough money for the dryer cycle. You're just trying to, you know, it's terrible.
I headline laundromats.
You headline laundromats, and you're part Asian, yes. And you do Aikido. Look at this.
Yeah. See, I'm in the right group.
A laundry service. Yeah,
I see their egg rolls. I'll serve the egg rolls.
Right.
He could win last comic 92. So, Dad, this is the portion where we play Who Wrote Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I basically read you classic jokes. I give you four answers, and you guess one. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? Except there's no money.
There's no prize, though.
You know?
I might lose at this game because, honestly, recently I've been watching a lot of dramas. Because I do, like, movies and stuff, too. So I watch a lot of dramas to study.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
well, you got to beat Matt.
I might suck at this.
You got to beat Matt Champagne. Matt only got, like, four, right?
This is not easy.
Four out of what?
Out of 15.
Okay. Well,
it's not easy.
It's not easy. Some of them are tough. But
it's
some
fun.
Of them,
it's fun.
Some of them might surprise you.
It's fun because it's just how it turns out.
He reminds me of Tim Conway. One of my favorite comedians, Carol Burnett Show. Remember him?
Who, Alan Lee?
Great. That's a compliment. Thank you. McHale's Navy.
Wow.
I like that.
I loved McHale's Navy.
First comedian I've met that reminds me of Tim Conway.
Oh.
That's cool.
That's awesome, dude. God.
Benny Hill was my first influence. That's why I was, during that time.
Buddy Hackett.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. John Ritter. Robin Williams. Jerry
John Ritter.
Sample, Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
I did my homework.
Cool. All right. Okay, here's joke number one. I'm living on a one-way dead-end street. I don't know how I got there. Was it A, Michael Keaton, B, Stephen Wright, C, Jamie Kennedy, or D, Mike Epps?
I don't know. Looks like I'm going to be matching that record of being terrible.
Oh, you could just guess one.
Okay, Jamie Kennedy?
Wrong.
Oh, and I worked with Jamie Kennedy, too. I didn't even get his jokes right. What is it?
This one... If you don't get this one right, I mean,
oh, you guys are not guessing. Is it just me on trial?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. You're the one.
This one you should get right. If you don't get this one,
are you taking tabs?
Yeah. No,
my Asian friend.
No,
I mean, are you counting?
No, I'm not.
Nobody's counting.
I know who's counting.
No, when you get it right, we rip it off.
Oh, I see.
And then,
okay,
you know,
gotcha.
No, we do rip them off. We are counting in that manner.
Okay, you should get this one right. This one's one of my favorite jokes, and I'm sure it's one of your favorite jokes too. I knew comedy was a thing for me when I was the only Asian kid in school who failed math.
Well, I'm guaranteed one. You know what would suck is if, like, I was like, who is that?
he misses it.
Is that Benny Hill?
Was it Joe Coy, Bobby Lee, Dad Fan?
Yeah. You start naming off, like, white comics. I was the only Asian guy in high school that failed math. Like, is that Benny Hill? That's crazy. It's Jack Black. What's going on? Yeah, it's John Ritter. He failed math.
So he
joke
got
didn't
it.
Make any sense. Yeah. Okay.
It's cool that
I got one. One for one.
No,
well,
one for two.
You're ahead
of
many other people, myself included.
I went to a meeting for a premature ejaculator. I left early. Was it Richard Pryor, Red Buttons, Red Fox, or Damon Wayans?
It's either Red Fox or another old school comic. That's an old school structure, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's old school.
So it's I would say Red Fox.
No, it was Red Button.
Ah! Oh, he's old school. He's old school. That's an old school formula.
That is a history lesson.
It's a 1-2 type of thing.
Yeah.
One-liner.
Yeah.
Close.
I mean,
I
kind of don't want to play this game with you because I just want to talk about stories.
I'm terrible at this game. I'm telling you. I do not. You know what I watched last night?
Dad Fan got one. We're ending the game.
I watched her, and then I also watched The Holiday. I am the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I am the wrong guy for this game.
This is fun.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were giving up Who Wrote Jokes.
You know, I trained with MMA fighters, and then yet I watched The Holiday Black and
Kate
Winslet.
Dad has just redirected our shows. We don't have to do this.
Yeah, Dad sucks at this game. So bad, folks. We're redirecting the dynamic
of
the show.
Your stories are so good.
Knocking us out, man.
Like,
I mean, like thank you. We don't even.
I'll do anything but play that game. I'll tell you.
We had a Matt Champagne on last week, and like that's all we wanted to do is play the game.
He
I was like, no,
game.
we want to hear stories.
I'm better at movie quotes than games.
We were going to do that when we run out of jokes. So next season we'll call you, get you on, do movie quotes.
Yeah.
You'll blow
dramas or whatever.
Even,
yeah.
And you didn't have a far drive, did you? I realized that you live in the area.
Yeah, I got here before you guys.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is that I'm the Asian guy staying on the sidewalk. I got here 20 minutes ago. But here's the thing, you guys were in the car, but mostly not Asian, except for the part of you that's part Asian. And I was like, I'm standing on the street. You got Dad Fan on the street going, you guys going to get hit. You're going to get hit because I just watched a car accident happen 20 minutes before you guys got there on the same lane.
I told Alan to park in the driveway. And he's like, no, I just want to make sure Dad knows we're here. I was like, how are we going to get in the driveway?
These guys pulled up to the curb, and there's guys coming off the 101 right around the corner. It's like Mario Kart.
I know.
You just needed like a banana right there, and they would have slid right into
you. You know what he's getting. He's an Asian driver.
Yeah. And so you got an Asian on the sidewalk watching these white people get hit on the freeway. It's like so. It couldn't be any more ironic.
Would be an Asian driver, yeah, a half Asian driver.
Yeah, that's true.
See, that's really
so. when you started doing comedy, who's the coolest guy you ever opened up for? Because I'm sure there's guys you opened up for that let you say, "Here, Dad, do 5 minutes." You know what I mean?
The coolest guy I've ever opened up for. There's several of them.
But the one that taught you the most, that like really, you know what I mean? That really,
Pablo Francisco.
Yeah,
a lot of the comics who've worked here in SoCal, especially, know who Pablo is. If you were to compare it to superheroes, Pablo is the Superman of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
If you watch him on stage, bullets bounce off of him. This guy, he does multiple voices, high energy. Mm-hmm. He does character pops, flips back and forth. Mm-hmm. He does different blocking dynamics. He's got it. He's destroying and crushing. He's a kill room.
Yeah.
He kills the crowd in a good way.
Yeah.
And to me, I felt like at the time when I was able to open for Pablo, this is right before Last Comic Standing, and I was opening for him when I was just barely living under a desk. But Rita at the Improv discovered me, and she got me to open for Pablo a few times. That's like Robin, like, you know, Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
it's like Robin opening for Superman, and watching like me going up to do my few hits here and there, getting off, and watching Superman come out. Lasers are coming out of his eyes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Beautiful. I mean, he was just vaporizing the crowd.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot. Very humble. He's like, Dad, you know, I just want to tell you, you know, don't ever think that you're better than somebody. You know, it's like a fight. You know, there's always going to be someone newer that's going to be able to take you out someday.
Yeah.
So you won't win every time. So keep that in mind, that there's always some guy out there that can take you out. So he always kept me humble.
Yeah,
and he was speaking about himself, too.
Yeah.
And he was very generous, just a lot of advice, and just wonderful, fun to hang around with, you know?
Well, see, the reason why I asked is because my friend, he actually used to open up for you. And, you know,
what's his name?
James Jericho.
Oh yeah.
You
know, I know James quite well.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm gonna tell you guys about how my relationship with comedians and friends and all that stuff. I'm extremely a business comic.
Yeah.
I train like a martial artist with stand up comedy. So the ones that don't take it seriously, I almost look like a jerk when I talk to them, because if they don't take it seriously, I respond to them as if someone who's a fighter who's not taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when I train with fighters in martial arts, I show them the respect, saying, I'm not a fighter. I'm not one of the, hey, I want to be in the UFC, and I don't really train that hard, watching these guys blood, sweat, and tears, right?
So did
and the
James same thing get past step one?
James?
Yeah.
No, I'm just talking about comics in general. No, James actually, I'll say this. He actually listened quite often, and he tried really hard. He promoted like crazy and still does, and he tries to work on his jokes. So I give props to James for working. You know, I just ask for a comic to try.
Yeah.
When they're not even trying, and they tell me that they want to be a pro, you might as well just spit in my face.
I mean,
really, that's just wasting my time.
It's a lie.
Because, like, I'm not a huge comedian yet, you know? I mean, I still got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But I do get these occasional headlining improv shows sometimes, and people always ask me, hey, can I do a spot? And it's like, I don't care so much about if you bring people. What I care is if you promote.
And try.
You know what I mean? If you
and
try.
I, yeah, well, actually, I have a way to monitor them. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to sound really creepy. But no, here's the thing. The biggest thing with me with stand-up comedians, especially new ones, is don't flake out. When you make a commitment,
I
make it very clear. That's like being a martial artist and saying that you're going to be part of a fight.
There's
or you're going to go to a tournament.
If you don't show
and
up.
You just don't even show up.
No, that's
you let down your corner team. You let down your school. You let down,
I mean, so many times.
That's and when they do that, I go, you realize what you're doing.
And then they ask for a second chance. And it's like, why should I give you a second chance when you screwed up the first chance?
And there's comics that you give them a second chance and they blow it again. And I'm like, man.
You only give the second chance to the hot chicks, though, you know.
No, actually, you know, it's funny. I was raised by I have 8 sisters.
Oh,
they're
really?
All older than me. I have my mom, so I was raised by 9 women.
9 women.
So as much as I'm straight and I love women, at the same time, those female comics, no matter how hot they are, I learned after a while, they're commandos in the trenches with you. They're the fellow soldiers. If they if they go, hey, you know what? I have this down here and I have this, so I'm going to get away with this. I'm like, you know what? You're basically shooting the soldier next to you by doing this.
Yeah.
And saying, well, you know, I'm an opposite gender, so I treat the women the same as I treat the male comics.
Yeah,
I treat them all as basically soldiers marching into a battlefield.
I totally agree with that because like one of my best friends is Rosie Tran, and she's beautiful, you know, gorgeous. But when she does stand up, she like doesn't talk about being the hot chick. You know what I mean? She just does the jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying.
I usually admire female comics that. I mean, you could always dress up the package later on with the nice hair and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that try to look like they dull down their looks.
Yeah.
And they really try to train hard to be a comedian. Those are the comics, the female comics, I respect
Committed.
The most.
Yeah.
Because that's like them wanting to train, Serious. Like to fight like yeah. us.
Exactly.
As opposed to going up there trying to. Because if you think about it, when they show how pretty they are, it's very distracting
it
for the audience. You got a bunch of dudes like staring at them like it's a yeah. strip club.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And then they're doing sexual jokes. It's like, okay, well, there's not a whole lot of punchlines, you know.
Thank you.
That's what I like about your stand-up is like you want the punchlines. You know, there's some comics that don't have punchlines and they just have stories.
To me,
I mean?
Being a comedian that just tells stories and does not have punchlines, and this is my own beliefs, that's like being a fighter and not having any mm-hmm. actual strikes mm-hmm. at anybody. You're just dancing around.
You're just dancing yeah. around
and
the
it
ring.
Doesn't really. There's yeah. How are you going to knock the person out? What are you going to do?
Yeah. There's nothing. Well, see, Tom Arnold's stand up is like that. I mean, but see, the thing is, I love Tom Arnold.
I didn't say that. He said that.
No. But I love Tom Arnold because I could relate to him because. Right. Tom Arnold has Asperger's syndrome, and I have Asperger's syndrome. So, like, you know, I could relate to him and his jokes. So I think he's the funniest guy. But I know audiences don't because they don't get the...
My thing is, putting Tom Arnold aside, because I didn't study his style,
with
stand-up comedy is this. If you can make the audience laugh by not doing punchlines...
You're fine.
More power to you.
Exactly.
That's great if you can pull it off. But if you have laugh ears, and you're up there, and you're bombing...
Yeah,
and you're just telling stories.
That's just not it.
Delusional. Really, you got to find a way to record your set and really count how many laughs you're really getting, or something.
I agree. Absolutely. So. And I don't. We were talking about comedy on some show, and it was brought up that how giving comedy is. When you go up there, you're giving yourself to the audience, and so you're boxing for the audience. You're throwing those punches, and they have to be. Those punches that you're giving to those people who have paid to see you.
Sure. Yeah. I also look at it as you're dancing with the audience. The audience forms a collective entity, and if you are dancing and you're feeling their energy and you're rolling with them and you're adapting and all that stuff, you're a great dance partner, which is you're a great comedian, right? But if you're just kind of like, well, no, I did great, and all you did was just drag your feet around like a dead body up there, you're the worst dance partner.
Thank you.
That's just my own belief. So
now, I have one last question before we go, since you brought up dancing. Do you have any desire to audition for Dancing with the Stars?
I would be terrified, and I admit this.
I'm terrified
of singing and dancing in public, and I secretly been taking singing classes.
Oh, really?
And I'm taking guitar lessons, and I've been going to the Millennium Dance Complex and watching them and finding a time to put in my schedule between martial arts to learn how to dance.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of
blowing it. I've watched
you
move on stage. I can't believe that. I've seen you move.
But the movements
like,
I did take ballet, for a short period of time, ballet mixed with taekwondo.
Yes.
And it gives me the agility on stage. But if somebody told me to do ballroom dancing or jazz dance or whatever, I'm like screwed up there. I'm terrified of not doing it right in front of the girl up there.
That's probably the scary. Because Andy Dick, who's a buddy of mine, he said that he didn't really care about that because he likes both. Both meals, you know what I'm saying?
But his style, he doesn't mind.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he got in shape and he got buffed out on that show.
Yeah.
You know?
But here's the thing is that people go, oh, nobody's watching you. And I tried it one time. I actually danced with a girl. Everybody's watching me. As a matter of fact, they're putting this on YouTube. Yeah. And I mean, I'm like, no, today? And they this is funny. Look at him. He looks like a fool. Let's tape him and put it on Vine right now and show.
Put it
on. Oh, totally. So it's a real ego-sensitive thing that I'm trying to overcome my fears, and that's one of my fears. And my original fear was public speaking. Actually,
that's the hardest thing.
I was so nervous. I was basically borderline throwing up half the time, and I had to overcome my fear. Here I am, you know, 18 years later.
Yeah. Well, you're a great public speaker and a great comedian, man.
Thank you. Hopefully, I could sing and dance someday.
So follow Dad Fan on Twitter and
Instagram.
Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
I was going to say MySpace, but you know,
yeah, Zanga. Follow me on Zanga and LiveJournal. I'll be on there.
Do you still use the MySpace? Or?
Yeah, I do. I talked to the four people on LiveJournal and MySpace, and then we just cry together. And I just found out one of those four profiles is me, so I'm just talking to myself.
And then you should listen to this guy's Twitter name. You could follow Alan at
Alan Lee Commie. And I am not a communist.
Yeah, I like how you say commie in the middle of admitting that you're part Asian. That's good.
Just, see, only comic, but they refuse.
You should just change your name to North Korea. That'd be, let's see. He's like, he's going to kill. He's North Korea.
And he has like two followers.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, I'm not too afraid.
I think people are I think people are scared.
It's Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un are your two followers.
Oh, no. I think it's me and my mom. I don't know.
Well, better than nothing.
And then I'm Keith Reza. You can follow me at Keith Reza. We're here with Dad Fam. Thanks for doing it, man.
Thanks
it
for having
fun.
Me, you guys. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so funny. Much. You were great guests. Wow. I'm Dude. Blown away. I'm just
and tune in to Reza Riffs next week. Thank you, and have a good night, guys.
You're listening to Reza Riffs with Keith Reza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.